gifts of God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and the way we live our lives please you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I read once a story about a professor of ethics who began her class every semester by asking her students, when you are 80 years old, what would you most like to be able to say about your life? And every year, a lot of students answer that when they're 80, close to the end of their lives, what they want to be able to say is that they have no regrets, that they wouldn't do anything in their lives differently. Pretty tall order, don't you think? Maybe that's only possible when you're 19 or 20, to think that you might live your whole life without making any mistakes so big that you'll continue to regret them. Nothing that you'd look back on and wish that you had the chance to do over. Maybe that kind of youthful confidence is a good thing. Maybe if you could hold on to that intention, it would change the way you make decisions. Control your words every time you open your mouth. But I think that if you get to 80 and you don't have any regrets about the way you've lived, it's probably less about good living and more about not being honest and reflective about your life. We live in a culture that tells us not to look backward with regret, that rethinking your past is a waste of time, an invitation to useless feelings of guilt. The messages we hear clearly, I think, are move on. Just keep moving forward, not back. Make adjustments in your behavior and your attitude if you need to. But if you've made mistakes, it's more important to change things going forward than it is to try and repair past damage. Today we come to the 8th and 9th steps in the 12-step spirituality of Alcoholics Anonymous. These steps say, make a list of all the persons you have harmed and then make amends to them. That this is part of your own healing, part of the path to freedom. Now, for many of us, this seems counterintuitive, not helpful, probably not necessary. Maybe it's important for an alcoholic or an addict to reflect on the people that they've harmed, you might think. But me? I've lived out of good intentions. If I've hurt someone, they'll understand that I'm not that kind of person. What's the value in rehashing old hurts? And without intending it exactly, I think maybe our Christian theology has led us in the same direction. We are forgiven. We have heard from the beginning. It is right at the center of the Christian message that God loves us regardless of what we have done in the past. It seems to us that it's pretty easy for God to forgive us. And isn't that enough to clear up all the debris we might have left in our past? Shouldn't everyone else forgive us too for whatever offense we might have caused? We never set out to hurt anyone. Can't we all just live positively into the future? Hasn't God already taken care of all the forgiveness we will ever need? It's not that we don't think our faith requires us to think about other people, but most of our focus is on forgiving other people. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. we pray. The hard part, it seems, is our work of forgiving others. But what if the messes in the world are not just about the wrongs that other people have done? What if I'm one of the people whose acts require forgiveness from someone else? The passage from the Sermon on the Mount that Moore read this morning reminds us that Jesus thought about that too. If you enter your place of worship, Jesus said, and you're getting to the moment that really counts, and you suddenly remember a grudge that a friend has against you, stop everything. Abandon your offering, he says. Leave immediately. Go to that friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Now, this is one of those parts of Jesus' teaching that I think most of us have never really taken seriously. Is he really suggesting that we put an intermission into our worship services? I'm kidding, but Jesus seems to have been quite serious about this command to stop everything and to seek forgiveness. And he didn't put any qualifications on how wrong you have to have been before this applies to you. If a friend has a grudge against you, Jesus says, even if it happened a long time ago and the other person should have gotten over it, even if you can justify all your actions in your own mind, even if you think your friend is being unreasonably hypersensitive, go work it out. Then come back and work on your relationship with God. Not because God can't forgive you until you clean things up with the other person, but because you can't be free until you do that. I think Jesus knew that living in the muck of relationships that are broken, especially when they have been bruised by our own actions, makes it impossible for us to live out any other part of the gospel. You can't see the needs of the poor when you're stewing about the argument you had last night with your spouse or your mother. You can't worship God when your mind is spinning with stories about why it was really someone else's fault that you lashed out with unkindness. You can't hear a new truth about your own life when you're focused on how you had to repeat that scathing story about your coworker. Jesus knew that when we're carrying the weight of the harm we have done to other people, our natural reaction is to isolate, to separate ourselves, not only from the person whose forgiveness we need, but from everyone who might see the truth of our imperfection. Now, it is not good to be crushed by the weight of the past. But neither is it freeing to pretend that the past doesn't matter. The reality of our lives is that we all need forgiveness. No one lives to be 80 with nothing to regret. We make mistakes, and sometimes we do things that are downright cruel. And then we need forgiveness, not just from God, but from one another. So what do we do? What does it mean to make amends to another person? Let me say first that one of the very important pieces of this step in the 12-step program is to know when not to do it. Make amends, the ninth step says, except when to do so would injure someone else. There is no virtue in clearing your conscience if what you're doing is to take the burden off yourself and put it on someone else. Will you do more harm by telling that person a wrong that they haven't known before? Think about that first. Let it stop you. Even if you were ready to speak with absolute sincerity and remorse. But if it is appropriate to go directly to the person you have wronged, making amends begins with an apology, saying you're sorry for what you did, not sorry for the other person's anger, not sorry they took things the wrong way. Sorry for your own actions. There are a lot of examples of bad apologies out there, especially in public life, often by politicians. You know what sounds sincere and what isn't. And second, and this is important, making amends is about action. Is there something you can do to right the wrong you have done? If you reneged on a promise, do what you can to fulfill it. If you stole something, give it back. If you ruined someone else's reputation, set the record straight. Ultimately, there are some things you can't repair. You can't take away the emotional pain that you've caused someone else. You can't unkill something you have let die. You can't restore trust that has been violated. You can't undo the past. But you can work on living differently. You can earn back trust by being trustworthy. You show someone that you still love them by changing the behavior that caused them pain. You pay attention to what needed your attention all along. Now, I am not recommending guilt to you. Someone wise once said, "Guilt is the price we're willing to pay for not changing our behavior." Think about that for a minute. Give up the guilt. It does no one any good. But that thing that makes you feel guilty, let it be a prompt in you, a thorn in your side that makes you uncomfortable enough to seek your own transformation, to do your work. Finally, and maybe this is the most important thing, making amends is about listening. If you grew up in this country and are of a certain age, you will remember the movie Love Story and its most famous line. You know it. Love means never having to say you're sorry. That may be one of the stupidest things ever said. But I can think of one way in which it might be true. Saying I'm sorry is sometimes not enough. Saying you're sorry is about your feelings. It communicates, I don't want to feel bad about this anymore. It says nothing about the feelings of the person you have harmed. Making amends is mostly about not speaking. It's about listening. Listening without making excuses for your behavior or preparing a defense. Listening to the other person talk about how what you did affected her. Paying attention, inviting him to be honest, and then being receptive, working at understanding things from their perspective. It means standing without any defenses in another person's reality without insisting that they enter yours. And then, after you've listened, Making amends means asking for the other person's forgiveness, knowing that they may not be able to offer it. Asking is hard. It makes you vulnerable because it puts you at the other person's mercy. Asking for forgiveness says, I need something from you. It's admitting that you can't move on without something that the other person has to give. And it may require patience. It's possible that the relationship cannot be fixed right now. And you may not be able to fix it at all. Jesus didn't say exactly what we should do if we go to that person who has the grudge against us and we're not able to make things right. It seems to me that it throws us right back to that first step of admitting that there is something in our lives that we are powerless over. So powerless that all we can do is surrender it up to God. Maybe that's exactly what we're supposed to keep coming back to. Maybe until we go back and keep working on those relationships, we'll never be able to worship God fully. Maybe that's how much we need each other. And I think that's exactly what Jesus was trying to tell us. Amen.